My name is Alan Morse, and today we're in Lesson 5. Lesson 5 in Philippians, in the book of Philippians. So turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. And we're going to be starting in chapter 3, and we're going to be starting at verse 11. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 11. It says, if by any means I might attain unto the righteousness of the dead, though I have already attained, either were already perfected, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind, and reaching forth for those things that which were before. You see, Paul had a tremendous history, and he was a Jew of the Jews. We just saw that not too long ago, and he persecuted the church tremendously. He went after. See, he was a zealous Jew. He did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah whatsoever. He thought Jesus was an imposter. He hated him. And he did everything that he could do, but he had the hierarchy of the Jews' permission to capture these Jews that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And he would capture them and put them in chains, and he would take them and put them in prison, and actually he voted to have them killed. So he was a mass murderer as far as the world is concerned. There's no doubt about it. And he was doing it against God's people. But he didn't realize it. See, he thought these were imposters. And so he said, in verse 13, he said, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He had to put that behind him, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And what was before? God gave him the gospel to preach the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and that was salvation for a new church called the Body of Christ. See, it was totally separated from Judaism, and he was the apostle for the Gentiles. He was the only apostle for the Gentiles, and he preached the gospel to the Gentiles and the gospel, like I said before, was that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look at verses 23. It says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers of it with you. See, he was a believer of the gospel. Know ye not that they who run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Obtain what? The reward, see. And every man that striveth for this mystery is temperate in all things, that they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You see, today we as people on this earth, we strive to obtain a corruptible crown. When I was a young man, I was a fast runner, and I had all kinds of blue ribbons, see, all kinds of them. And I had him in an envelope, and I had him in my mom and dad's house where I was at, and they got lost, you see. But they were corruptible. They were lost. But the things that I do now, And as far as in God's service, seeing God working through me, what He does through me, what God does through me now, I'm going to obtain a crown, only it's incorruptible. It will never lose it. It won't be lost like my ribbons were lost. But these crowns that God, with God's doing it, and He's doing it through me, those rewards will be incorruptible. So it's really kind of neat. See, and this is what Paul was trying to say, forgetting those things. Back into text again, chapter 3, and verses 13. It says, I do forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things that are before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of His high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's look at verses 15. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. In other words, we're supposed to live perfect lives. Now, how can we live perfect lives? Because Christ is in us. He is in us. And He is the one that's going to guide and direct us. But if we fall short anyway, God, it says here, God should reveal even this unto you. And so if you sin, God will reveal it to you. And when you see it, what it is, you won't want to do it. Because Christ's living in you. You don't want to. You don't want to sin. When you believe that gospel and that Holy Spirit comes into you, that's the last thing you want to do. Is sin. And that's why, but if we do, God's going to reveal it to us. He's going to say, look, that isn't right. You shouldn't be doing that. And He'll bring you right back into the walking with Him, you see. And how wonderful that is, because we all fall short. But when we do, God is there to pick us up and put us back on the right path. It's just, you know, when God moves into you, it makes all the difference in the world. Look at verses 16. Look at verses 16. It says, nevertheless, as to that which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rules. Let us mind the same things. See, we're to follow God's lead, in other words. God's going to lead us. All we got to do is follow us, because He's living in us. See, He's living in us. Verse 17. Let's look what it says. Brethren, be followers together of me. This is Paul speaking. He's telling us to be followers of Him and mark them that who walk, even as they have us for an example. We are to be followers of Paul. Boy, that gets in the craw of a lot of people. But that's what Paul said. And obviously, let's look where he talks about this. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go back to the left. To 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's just look at verses 1. Right here it says it. Be ye followers of me, even as I so am of Christ. You see, Paul followed. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, see. And when we followed Him, we were following Christ, see. Because He followed Christ. But He said, be followers of me, see. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go back to chapter 4. And let's look at verses. I like to start with 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. See, He's begotten us through the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He died for our sins. See, He was buried and He rose from the dead. This is what we have that from Paul. Wherefore, I beseech you, be followers of me. So when people tell you, well, you just follow Paul too much. Well, that's Scripture. That's Scripture. Paul is teaching Scripture. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. Paul didn't write this. God wrote it through him. See? So, you know, it's powerful. It's powerful. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go back to the right to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verses 16. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16, it says, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yea, now, henceforth, we know him no more." We know Christ no more after the flesh. You see, we're not dealing with Christ's earthly ministry, see. We're dealing now with the risen Savior. The risen Savior, and that's who we're dealing with now. He's not in the flesh anymore. He is the risen Savior in his glorified body. And he is the one who gave this gospel to Paul. And so that's why we should be following Paul, because he is the one that taught the gospel, see. And Jesus gave it to him. Jesus gave him the gospel. Let me show you that. Just turn back to, a lot of you have seen this before, but just go back to Galatians. Just a few pages over. Galatians chapter 1. Look what it says in verses 11. He says, "But I make known unto you, brethren." This is Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. He says, "But I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." See, he got this gospel directly from the revelation of Jesus Christ. How important is this gospel that he got? And we know what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll never keep your hand in Galatians here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, verses 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." He's going to explain what this gospel is. See, "The gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and which you stand." They stood on the gospel. These are the Corinthian church. He's preaching to believers. See, he said, "by which you stand." And also look at verse 2. "By which also you are saved." This gospel is by which you are saved. But you, what did it say in verse? And then there's if. It says, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain." This is something you don't forget. This is something that is your salvation. This is the gospel. And you believe it. "For I deliver you first of all, which I received." We just saw that how he received it from the risen Savior. Here is the gospel now, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, see. How important is this gospel? Flip back to Galatians chapter 1 again. "But though we," verse 8, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, "but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. As we say before," in verse 9, "as we say before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed." Does your preacher today preach the gospel for salvation? He got a problem. I didn't say it. The book did. You see, this is the most important thing you have to understand. This is the only way to salvation. is to believe the gospel. And anybody preach anything other than this, they're accursed. They're accursed. So let's go back to the text. Go back to the text. And we were in Philippians, and we're in chapter 3. And we're looking at verses 18 now. For many walk, of whom I have told you before, and now tell you again, weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. You see, people who aren't preaching the gospel, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. If they're telling you that you have to believe in Jesus for your salvation, you have to take Christ as your Savior for salvation, believe in Jesus as your Savior, that's not the gospel. We just read the gospel. Well, it's close. No, it isn't close. God lays it out just as plain as day what salvation is. That if you believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead, that's the gospel. And anybody preaching anything other than that, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Look what it says in verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is in their appetite. See, they really believe in God, see, but they don't believe the word. See, the whole key difference is a big difference. You see, Abraham was counted righteousness because he believes God. You see, a lot of people believe in God. Satan believes in God, but he's not saved. We have to believe him. And when he tells us to believe the gospel, that's exactly what we should do. For those whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who mind the earthly things. See, they're not looking to heavenly things by believing God when he tells them to believe the gospel. Now look at verses 20. This is kind of neat. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven. You see, the second we believe the gospel, we become citizens of heaven. And we have an inheritance in that. It just came to my mind. Let's turn back to Romans. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. No, I'm wrong. Turn back to Ephesians. Galatians. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1 again, and let's look at verses 14. We'll read verses 13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what is this Holy Spirit of promise? Who is the earnest of our inheritance? Where is our inheritance? In heaven, see. In heaven. That's the earnest of our inheritance. Or it's like the down payment. That Holy Spirit is the down payment for our inheritance. Where at? Now we go back to the text. Go back to the text. For inheritance, being that we are, verse 20, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. See, that's our inheritance. From which also we look for who? We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what we're looking for. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just keep your finger here. Let's turn over to Titus. Go back to the right. Go back to the right. And let's get to Titus. Timothy. 2 Timothy and then Titus. Let's look at Titus, and we're looking at chapter 2, verses 13. This is what we're looking for, see. Looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, that's what we're looking for. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous of good works. We're people of his own, zealous in good works. Okay, so for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this next verse. This is neat. Who shall change our lowly bodies, that it may be fashioned like His glorious body, according to the workings by which He hath enabled us to subdue all things to ourselves. That is fantastic. Now think about that. See, who shall change our lowly bodies? These old bodies we have right now are going to be changed to be fashioned like His glorious body. And look, and we're going to see when this happens. Let's just turn to 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians and just turn just a few pages over to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's start look at verses 14. It says, verses 13 it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, or those that have passed away, that you not sorrow, even as others who have no hope. Now, verses 14, it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, what's that? The gospel. If we believe the gospel, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. In other words, God's going to come down to this earth and He's going to bring those that have passed away who believe the gospel. See, they're in heaven because they believe the gospel. He's going to bring it with them. Okay, verses 15. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. Those who have died, they're going to be first. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, see, in Christ, this is in the body of Christ, see, we who belong to the body of Christ shall rise first. Those people who died in the body of Christ will rise first. And then it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds with them in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. People ask me where we're going to be. We're going to be where the Lord is, see. We're going to be where the Lord is. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, you see. But they're going to be changed. And what are they going to be changed into? Immediately, we're going to be changed into this new glorious body who shall be changed. Verses 21 of the text, chapter 3 of Philippians, it says, verse 21, who shall be changed our lowly bodies that it may be fashioned like His glorious body. Think about that. Think about that. When Christ rose from the dead, you remember when He came out of the tomb, Mary was there, and He didn't recognize Him. He thought He was a gardener, see there, of the tomb Mary. He thought He was the gardener there. And He was looking right at Him. But when He said Mary, He recognized His voice. He had His new glorious body that He resurrected, and a new glorious body, and our body is going to be like His. And then, did you notice that when He went to see the 12, they were locked in the upper room, scared to death. But He just appeared there. He didn't go through the door or a window or anything. He just was there. And then when He was done, and they were scared of Him to death. And they walked with this man for 3 years, and they didn't recognize Him until He showed Him His nail-scarred hands and feet and the spear print in His side, see. But they were scared to death. And then when He left, He just was gone. That's the kind of body that we're going to have. We won't need a train or a plane or a car. We'll just be there. That's what Christ did. And that's going to be good. See, we're going to be fashioned like His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. It's just, what a wonderful, wonderful verse and wonderful, wonderful promise. To have a new body like Christ's glorious body. Okay, now let's go on. Just looking at verses we're going to go on to, we'll be starting with chapter 4. Now, chapter 4, we'll just start reading it. It says, therefore, my brethren, beloved, therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech this Judea and beseech Cynthia that they may be the same mind in the Lord, that believe in the gospel totally. And I entreat thee also, yoke folks, help those women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice. He talks about this all the time. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this is what I have to do when I'm in trouble. I have to pray to the Lord and just let Him know everything. And it's all I can do is just pray to Him, giving thanks and requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. And it does. When things get tough, you just take it to the Lord and He gives you peace. And this is the great verse to give to people that are hurting. People are sick or they're dying or having problems. Finally, brethren, wherever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, when you have Jesus living in you, this is just imperative. But He's the one who will guide you to do that, to think on those things. Think on those things which you have learned and have received and heard and seen in me. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, he says. But we got to stop here. But anyway, this is a wonderful, wonderful book, and I hope you understand, I hope you believe. There's a few more verses here, but just go ahead and read on through them. But let us close. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we had to teach this word, and I praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.